This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Kenny Loggins, as chosen by you, the people. Vinny's off today, Bob Haney with you. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Week 9 NFL season started last night with the Jets as favorites, beating the Houston Texans. Here to talk about that and the rest of the schedule, and I guess the de facto midway point of the season. NFL Network Radio, longtime writer for the National Football League covering the NFL, Vic Carucci. Vic, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here on The Fan. What's happening?
Yeah, hey, Bob. Good to be with you.
Now, yesterday we were doing our picks here, me and Nolan, and Jets were two and a half point favorites. I'm like, this is a sucker's bet. Yeah, we were the suckers. We took Houston, but obviously the odds makers know all. But first half looked like Houston might be imposing their will. Then things got a little out of control for them in the second half. So the second half offensively for the Jets, is this a sign of things to come maybe for them in the second half of said season?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time feeling that with a team that is now 3-6 and had gone into that game with two wins, and it played a horrific half as well as their opponent. The best player they had in that first half was Tommy Townsend, their punter, right? I mean, that's when that's your best guy. But look, I give them credit for what happened in the second half. I think this had as much to do, if not the most to do, with their pass rush and the Texans' inability to protect C.J. Stroud, who was just getting very jumpy at the end. That did not look like and yes, they've lost some key pieces on the receiving end, but overall that Texan offense was just rendered ineffective. And I will give the Jets some credit. I'm still not sure how that touchdown came about in declaring it a touchdown. I mean, I guess I don't know what a catch is anymore. None of us really do. And that'll go on the list of those that at least I didn't see as a catch.
Yeah, I don't see where the shin landed inbounds at all. To be told, I'm with you 100%. I mean, a hell of a catch, actually securing the ball. But was he inbounds or not? I'm still saying no on this one.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. But again, long way to go for this Jet team, and they have toyed with the emotions of their fan base. I believe the first half chant by the fans was encouraging Woody Johnson to sell the team. And then by the second half, I guess they were into the whole cayenne pepper water thing. So whatever.
Now, you mentioned Houston. Stroud's been sacked, what, 30 times now this season? No Nico Collins, no Stephon Diggs. He's done, sadly, for the rest of the year. But C.J. Stroud was a guy, you know, Vic, you cover the league as well as anyone. He was kind of an MVP-level guy as the pass rush finally, because Mixon, he's been running the ball very well last couple of weeks coming back from injury. But I don't want to say sophomore slump for C.J. Stroud, but he hasn't leveled up, I guess, the way a lot of people thought he would.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how this will go for him. And again, compromising circumstances. He's going to get Collins back in a week or so, and I think that it will be a definite game changer. He's the best receiver they have, assuming he's back to that form. And I'm also a little confused by Bobby Sloak's offensive strategy last night, or the way he was sporadically running Joe Mixon. And the Jets, you know, don't stop the run well. That's the one proven thing about their defense. Yes, they can pressure the quarterback, but they got seven sacks because at some point during that game, they didn't respect the fact that the Texans would run. And I don't know, maybe some of the holding penalties that the Texans were getting on those run plays discouraged the run calls.
All right, Vic, let's bring it back to Baltimore here coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock. Ravens taking on the Broncos, 2-5-3 teams, two teams in second place in their divisions. Lamar was back in practice today, which is good news. But we'll talk about the Broncos. They've won 5 of 6. Granted, it's not a murderer's row of opponents that they've rolled through, but wins nonetheless. Knicks just got the offensive rookie of the month for October. How dangerous are the Broncos coming into Baltimore Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium?
Well, I think after what I saw last week against the Browns, any opponent the Ravens face is dangerous. they just don't prove to me or show to me on a consistent basis that they're the team that I think some have promoted them to be. And I mean outside of their fan base. I mean nationally, this idea, that's a team that you're going to look at to win it all or be the factor to at least win the AFC championship. And I'm far from convinced from that. I saw what they did to Buffalo, beat them up and down, and it was a beating at the line of scrimmage. It wasn't just Derrick Henry doing what he did, but I would hasten to add that you go up against a good defense and a smart defensive coordinator like the Browns have, and that causes them all kinds of problems. And then on the flip side, they still, that back end has to be worrisome. They don't have the ability to consistently close out games. I know a cliche, I think, to hear in Baltimore, but because everybody there knows it too. And secondly, do they have enough firepower? Yes, Henry's a great add and a dimension and a guy that I think they're trying to parse how they're using him, or at least that's what John Harbaugh's strategy seems to be. I want this guy as fresh and as healthy as possible at the end when we need him the most. But you know what? Before you get there, you've got to win enough games to be in the playoffs and, win your division or at least try to have a home game or two in the playoffs. And Pittsburgh's right there in that division. And I didn't believe I'd be saying that, but I don't think there's a clear conversation that says, yep, Ravens got it locked, and they don't have it locked against the Broncos. I would expect the Ravens to win, but I think they could be pushed to the brink, no problem.
Vic Carucci, NFL Network Radio, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you, Featured Artist Friday. Vinny's off this week. Let's go to the before we get to the NFC, Vic, the 4-5 or 5-3, kind of a Denver-ish team. We'll throw the Ravens out of the equation. The one that's really about to maybe take it to a new level in regards to making a real run at the postseason as we're now into November here.
You're saying like in the league or in the
AFC?
AFC. I still have to believe that the Chargers can't be ignored, even though, they haven't shown anything consistently in that regard. But you can't ignore them with Jim Harbaugh as their coach. And I think that's a big thing. And I don't give up on Justin Herbert, even though he's fallen very much from the grace of a guy that we thought would be among the best quarterback, right up there with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, et cetera. So keep an eye on them. The Colts are intriguing as heck, right? At 4-4, and it'll be interesting to see what happens against the Vikings. This quarterback change is going to be pivotal one way or the other, right? The fact is, at least I say the fact based on what's been reported, if we accept the facts that the rest of the team especially understood something had to give and that this change to move away from Anthony Richardson and back to Joe Flacco had more to do with trying to not lose the rest of the team and their faith in what was going on than anything else. And if that's accurate, then I think you've got to believe in them to be a team that could, with the competence of Flacco, turn something around. And then maybe Richardson, it becomes a very good lesson for him to watch and learn. So those would be the two teams that I'd have the closest eye on.
All right, Vic, let's get to the NFC real quick. Speaking of intrigue, the NFC West, which team is going to rise to the top over the next couple of months in that thing?
Yeah, you know, and I know you're thinking about the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
At 4-4. the Seahawks are 4-4, but let's talk about the Cardinals. You know, yeah, it was impressive to come back from double digits and beat Miami, but that was Miami, and I'm not a big believer that there's a lot to look at in a 2-5 team to say, okay, can they hold on to a lead? No. Maybe it changes as they have more games with Tua back, but I'm not sold there. So is the Cardinals thing got to have a disclaimer on it? Yeah. In terms of Seahawks and then the Rams, I know are 3 wins, but the Rams have probably even more potential, I think, than the Seahawks. I saw a team that had, you know, when the Bills gave them a chance to try to get right back in the game, they coughed it back up. Geno looked like the Geno Smith of old when I've come to become a believer of how he's, revived himself. And then the 49ers, 4-4, how do you look away from them? But, you know, losing Brandon Ayuk is a big thing. And here's the other thing. I wonder how much, as they move forward, I just have to, really wonder, have they hit their have they hit their high water mark? You know, that's where I'm not, Brock Purdy. I mean, is he the guy that folks, already big contract in the future, all this other stuff? Are we truly believing the numbers say that he's done some wonderful stuff? But it's just interesting to me that, they're a team that's 4-4 right now. And are they ready to make any kind of move? I'll believe it when I see it.
Vic Carucci, NFL Network Radio. Vic, as always, appreciate your time here on 105.7 The Fan. Enjoy your football weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Bob. Take care.
There's Vic Carucci, everybody. Didn't sound like he's high on the Ravens here on this Featured Artist Friday. We'll come back, make our picks for this week, college and pro. And then Matt Weirich's going to be joining us. We'll talk about the Orioles, Corbin Burns, Anthony Santander, among others, have filed for free agency. Busy offseason for Mike Elias. It's got to be a successful one because the Orioles, hey, they've been in the playoffs 2 straight years. That's great. That's no longer good enough. It's a good thing, though. You've raised the bar that high.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the picks. Vinny's off today, but we do have his picks, so stay tuned for his selections. Do you want to get to the game last night that we just talked about, or you want to wait till we get through college?
We'll just update the standings.
Yeah, let's do that.
So Vinny was right. He had the Jets. Me and Bob were suckers taking Texans. Updated standings. Vinny in the lead, 105-60. Bob in second place at 104-61. I'm in last place, 99-66.
Yeah, I'm 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position, it seems. Can't score with the bases loaded, nobody out. You're picking up what I'm putting down right now. All right, college. Ohio State, Penn State. Number 4, number 3. Ohio State, 3-point favorites, Happy Valley. What do you got there, Nolan? What's Vinny got going on?
Vinny is picking Ohio State in this one, going against all that money he's had to pay to Penn State for his kids' tuition.
Right. Trust me, we hear about it all the time.
Well, you got to stay loyal. Yeah. I guess not. I'm going to go with Ohio State as well, but this is kind of something's got to give game. Ryan Day, a 2-7 record in his career against top 5 opponents. Penn State is a top 5 opponent, but on the other side of things, Penn State can't beat Ohio State. They just haven't done it since 2016. So something's got to give here. I do think the Buckeyes win.
I've been saying it for the last couple of days. I'm going with the Nittany Lions. I just have a feeling, like the Beatles said, I got a feeling that Penn State's going to win. Pitt at SMU. SMU starting quarterback is going to go in this one. And the Mustangs, 8-point favorites. This is an ACC. Whatever. This is an ACC game.
Is this one of their manufactured rivalries?
I guess.
Remember when
Pitt
was supposed to be Maryland's rival?
Et cetera, et cetera.
All right. Well, Vinny has SMU, and as do I.
I'm going to go Pitt. That's the Panthers. Harken back to the days of Dan Marino and all that one. Texas A&M at South Carolina. The Aggies, 3-point road favorites here.
All right. Vinny is taking South Carolina. I'm going to go with A&M as the road favorite.
We go South Carolina. They're kind of a frisky team, and Beamer's a good coach, so I'll go with the Gamecocks there. Indiana at Michigan State. Hoosiers undefeated, 8-point favorites against the Spartans team that won at Maryland.
Not sure if Vinny circled the wrong name here, but he circled Michigan State, so he's locked into that.
That's right.
It'll end up being like last night, and he'll be right, but I'll go with Indiana.
I'm going Indiana in a puffy pants game there, which means hammer time if you're new to the show. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Florida versus Georgia, Jacksonville, the Bulldogs, 14.5-point favorite.
Vinny has Georgia. I've got Georgia, and I'm assuming you do too.
I do. So let's roll on to the National Football League. Dallas at Atlanta. Falcons first place in the South. They're 3.5-point favorites there over the Cowboys.
Yeah, you threw it out there a little bit earlier in the show. Is this maybe a live dog situation for the Cowboys? Falcons come back down to earth a bit. Vinny and I disagree. We both have Atlanta.
Oh, I'm going Atlanta all day. I mean, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, now part of the fun of that Atlanta offense. Kirk Cousins only chokes in the playoffs. They're going to hammer the Cowboys. That'll be what, Dallas' third straight loss. Just talking about Buffalo with Vic Carucci. The Dolphins go up there. Bills 6-point favorites.
Dolphins certainly more competent with Tua in the mix, but the Bills should win this one. Vinny agrees.
Buffalo as well. Hey, Dolphins gacked a double-digit lead to Atlanta at home, or Arizona. Raiders at the Bengals. Cincinnati -7. By the way, new to the show, we're just picking winner spreads. That's for you to do with whatever you want there.
Vinny's going to take the Bengals. I'm going to take the Bengals as well. Does that mean next Thursday is going to mean something? We'll see, but I think they win this weekend.
I'll go Cincinnati. Also, Chargers at Cleveland and the reigning AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Jameis Winston. Chargers -1.5.
All right, I've got Vinny down here. He's picking the Browns. I'm going to go with the Chargers on the road. Jameis, I think that was his moment last week. That was it. He tried to give the game away. Maybe the Chargers will actually take it.
Oh, I'm with you. Those interceptions that could have been will be against L.A. Chargers over the Browns, New England at Tennessee, Titans -3.5.
Patriots coming off that win last week against
the Jets.
The rival. Yeah, so nice win for them. But, this is just going to be a terrible game. I had no way to sugarcoat it. Vinny's got the Titans. I'm going to go Tennessee as well.
I'm taking New England. Indy at Minnesota. Let's see, that's Sunday Night Football here. Joe Flacco, Minnesota -5.5. They've lost 2 in a row.
Right. Vinny's buying the Flacco hype, going with the Colts. I like the Vikings here. They need a bounce back. Got off to that great start, then kind of scuffling a little bit, but I think they're still a good team and better than Indy for sure.
That is Sunday Night Football, right?
I thought the Eagles in Jacksonville was Sunday night.
No, it's...
The sheet I printed out is wrong.
The sheet is wrong.
The sheet never lies.
But your pick of Indy is right. I'm going with the Colts. Washington at the Giants. Commanders -4.
Vinny has Commanders. I've got the Commanders. You do.
Yeah, it's making it unanimous. New Orleans with Derek Carr at Carolina. Saints -7. They've lost 6 in a row.
I think without Derek Carr, they probably still win this game. Vinny's got the Saints, too.
Ah, man. I want to get dopey here. I'm going to go Carolina. I think Bryce Young has a kind of a breakout game here. Chicago at Arizona. Cardinals -1.5.
I'm going to go with the Bears in this one, avenging themselves for the embarrassing finish against the Commanders last week. Vinny likes the Cardinals.
Didn't you say going into last week, Arizona hadn't won back-to-back games? Was that you or is that Ken Wyman?
That was not me.
Ken Wyman, I think, said that. So they've won back-to-back games. Do they make a three in a row? Yes! Let's go Cardinals. Going back to the old, man, what's the guy's name? They are who they thought we were. Passed away. Dennis Green. They are who they thought we were. We let them off the hook. Arizona's going to handle their business. Let's see, Detroit 2.5 at Lambeau against Pack.
Yeah, Jordan Love, I mean, he did practice yesterday, but that groin still could be an issue. I'm going to go with the Lions. Vinny likes Detroit as well.
I will go with the Lions also. Rams at Seattle, -1 L.A. Puka Nacua left practice yesterday with a knee. Not that bad, but bad enough to keep him out? We don't know yet.
Well, Vinny likes the Rams. I'm going to go with the Seahawks here at home.
I'm going to L.A. I love L.A. That old song from way back when. And then Jacksonville taking on Philadelphia. Maybe this game was flexed out a couple of weeks ago.
Well, rightfully so.
Yeah.
I guess I'd rather see Colts and Vikings.
Jacksonville at the Eagles. Eagles -7.5.
Well, it's probably an easy pick. Vinny's got Philly. I'm going with the Eagles as well.
You're not feeling the Doug Peterson reunion thing?
No. Well, it's more about Philly. I think they're really rounding into shape.
Yeah, I'm going Philadelphia as well. And then the Ravens taking on the Denver Broncos. Let me just double-check the spread because Lamar's back at practice. It was 9.5. It dropped to 8.5. And as we sit, back up to 9. Niner, Baltimore, and Denver.
All right, I'll start with me because I actually don't have Vinny's pick on this one.
Yeah, I do. It's 31-17, Paul.
31-17 is what Vinny's going with. I'm going to say the Ravens don't cover the spread, at least as it stands right now. Ravens win, though, 27-20. Just can't trust that defense enough. I think there's not going to be enough room for comfort here. Kind of a one-possession game throughout the entire afternoon. But with Lamar out there, they will stick with Henry. They'll get the job done.
I am going to go with the Ravens. Cautious pick. I don't want to get all arrogant and say they're going to blow them out and it's going to be ugly down at M&T. I'll take Baltimore 30-23 in a hard-fought win over the Denver Broncos. And I think the defense will make a play, which will have a great impact on the outcome of the game. How's that sound?
Just a play. Could be anything. Could be getting a third down stop.
How about if the situation duplicates itself, where a DB needs to make an interception, they'll make it this time.
All right. I like the sound of that.
All right. Then again, I'm usually wrong. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We all got the Ravens over the Denver Broncos. We'll come back. Talk some Orioles baseball. The Orioles season ended a month ago. That's right. It's been a month since the Orioles have played. Dodgers are kings of the baseball world. How did the Orioles get themselves into that conversation? Hey, they're one of the top five preseason odds teams as we look ahead to 2025, but a lot of work left to be done. Matt Weirich from the Baltimore Sun will preview that next here on The Fan. Stay tuned for the final song. Inside Access coming up live from, where are they, Cross Street Market today? Correct me if I'm wrong?
Yep, Cross Street Fridays.
Cross Street Fridays. So if you're in the South Baltimore area, you know my first job, real job outside of my dad's 7-Eleven was at Cross Street Market, Nick's Seafood, when I was 16 years old. Not six. My work ethic wasn't that great. But I was 16 years old. Nick's Seafood used to be right there on the corner of Charles Street and Cross Street. I worked 6 to 6 on Saturday morning into the evening.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Kind of what?
Smelling like fish all day.
No, and the thing is, you know, my parents didn't drive me to work. I had to get my ass on that number 20 and go down to the 64 and take that down downtown to or down Light Street. And get off and go to work. Guy's name was Lou. He was my first boss. And I remember the Cross Street Festival that year. And I kept eating the fried shrimp because it was so delicious. And this was a thin Bob Haney. Not the lard butt beer belly guy that you see in front of you today with the headband around this big monstrosity growing out of his ear, which I have to cover up because I don't want to shock people with.
Yeah, you look like you're ready to suit up on Monday night for the Terps.
I look like Kevin Herter.
I was thinking Jackie Moon with the headband.
Right. With the short shorts. Well, similar physique for sure. But yes, there'll be a Cross Street getting you ready for the Ravens and the Orioles. Their offseason has begun. As we said, it started like a month ago. But Corbin Burns has filed for free agency. And we were talking yesterday with, help me out here, Gabe Lax, USA Today. And he kind of bought into that eye emoji thing that Corbin Burns tweeted it out.
Correct.
After L.A. won the World Series, the Dodgers. He is from Arizona, or he's from like the San Francisco Bay Area, but he lives in Arizona. Dodgers have money to burn. Like Jack Flaherty's a free agent, for instance. They got Glasnow coming back from another arm injury, so I don't know what his reliability will be. They gave Yamamoto this crazy money. But it seems as though LA's got these unlimited payroll for free agents, and Corbin Burns would kind of fit the bill. Diamondbacks have shown a willingness to spend money over the years. The Angels, who wants to go into that debacle? Maybe San Francisco, Pitchers Park. Bottom line is, Corbin Burns coming back to Baltimore. I think we all knew that it was a one-year rental and just enjoy the ride for as long as it lasts. And it lasted six innings, and if in fact, or 6 months, and if in fact his last start was the playoff loss to Kansas City, where he pitched brilliantly, but they couldn't score. I said it yesterday. Corbin Burns ever comes back to Baltimore for whatever reason, probably to play for another team, and I run into him at an establishment, maybe Pickles, I'm buying him a beer. I mean, I'm not mad at him at all. I mean, you knew what you were getting into, Mike Elias, when you swung the deal. It'll be interesting to see if, at the very least, David Rubenstein gives Mike Elias the okay to dip his feet in that that bidding pool for Corbin Burns.
Right, because, look, I agree with you. L.A., big market teams out there, Chicago, whoever, you name them all. They got more money to spend. We know that. That's not changing. But Orioles with new ownership, I think that does make things a little more intriguing. The new owner, Rubenstein, has said, we're going to spend. You got to spend to stay successful. They're going to do it. Does that mean spending on a pitcher? That remains to be seen. I think that's kind of the factor that is more intriguing to me, is that maybe they have the money to spend, but do they want to spend it on a pitcher, knowing everything we know about pitching injuries? If it was up to me, that's not a concern. And I've long said on this show that there's no reason that, I mean, unless it's a huge sticking point for the player, that you have to lock yourself into 5 or 6 years. Sell them on a 3-year deal. And Corbin Burns, hey, you're 30 years old, sign a 3-year deal, still get your $30 million a year. Then you got a chance to re-up. 3 years from now, you still be at the top of your game, you would
think,
close to it.
If you're offering three, and we'll play the game, it's going to be $120 million. It's going to be more like $40 million a year.
Okay.
I mean, you got Cy Young winner. He was a candidate this year until he had the bad month of August. I mean, he's that guy. He's the top of your rotation. The days of 300 innings pitched, that's way of the dinosaur. That guy doesn't exist anymore. But 200 innings, he's your dude. And he's going to be that dude. So offer him three for 120, it's $40 million a year. Didn't Scherzer get crazy money like that? It's out there. I mean, Gerrit Cole got $300 million. But I'm with you. I've said it on the air as well, Nolan. Long-term deals for pitchers, especially one who just turned 30, and this high effort, he seems impervious to that sort of thing because he throws a ton of cutters. I mean, he'll ramp it up to 98 when he has to, but at least be competitive. Their two main needs, as I see it, the Orioles, right-handed bat, outfield bat, power, and a starting pitcher or two. I mean, we can go back to May, and it was, they had a plethora of starting pitchers. Means was coming back. Bradish, they had too many pitchers. We were trying to figure out bullpen roles for guys, and then all of a sudden they had none. Grayson Rodriguez coming back from his second lat injury, which has cost him significant time. He was going to come up in 22, remember? Got hurt. If memory serves, like right before he was getting recalled. Then missed basically the rest of that season. Missed the finality of this year. I mean, we know the potential's there for top of the rotation. I don't know. I mean, do we look at him now as someone that is kind of a not red flag injury list risk, but count on him hitting the post 35 times a year?
Well, it has to be in the back of your head, and I'm going to say the dreaded name here, Tommy John.
Oh, my God.
Because, well, look, it seems inevitable for most young pitchers, especially pitchers who throw very hard, and Grayson certainly fits in that category. And I remember seeing a graphic midway through the season this past year when you had, you know, the Spencer Striders of the world. Again, hard-throwing guys were going down with these injuries. And Grayson Rodriguez was the only name on this list. It was ranked by velocity, average fastball velocity. And every other name on the list either had Tommy John already in their career or was going through it as we speak. And Grayson was the outlier that hasn't had it yet.
Right.
And I don't mean to be the Debbie Downer, but that's kind of the reality of baseball right now. That most of these guys have to get it at some point. Some of them have to get it twice.
And I'm not a doctor. I'll play doctor. But I'm not a doctor. Isn't that Latisius or whatever it's called kind of in the...
Your side?
Yeah. So it's all from max effort.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not having a lat injury reaching in the fridge for a ice cold McUltra.
I might, but
yeah,
I'm not.
But I mean, I'm flabby and out of shape.
Yeah, I think with that in mind, though, again, the Tommy John factor, that has to be in the back of your head. And hopefully this past season, for as bad as it was, is a bit of a wake-up call. You can't bank on thinking that you have enough depth because you never have enough depth. And I thought the Orioles did do a pretty good job building out a good cast of starting pitchers. And you were right that they did have more than five entering the season that were candidates to start. And that was even without factoring in the Suarez's of the world, the Povich's of the world. Yeah. So there are guys in the mix right now. But if you're not going to re-sign Burns, I think you got to go out and replace him with two. And if you're looking for intriguing free agents that are going to be available elsewhere, it's kind of a short list.
Led by Corbin Burns. Or Jack Flaherty or somebody like that. They're going to have to trade for a controllable guy, which I guess is what Mike Elias would like to do. They went all in on Burns, trading D.L. Hall and Joey Ortiz to make it happen. But if you look at their rotation as it sits today, it's Zach Eflin, Dean Kramer. Who am I forgetting?
Well, we'll count Grayson.
Grayson, Grayson will be the number two. Kramer's three.
That's
Suarez.
It. Then it's
Povich, McDermott, who had shoulder stuff himself.
Trevor Rogers.
Trevor Rogers. Well, he's going to have to be a guy because you traded Stowers and Norby to get him. But starting pitching for sure. And even with the mound coming back, Felix Bautista, are you really expecting him to be as good as he was 2023?
No,
it'd be awesome if he was, but I'm not holding my breath waiting for that.
There's another case of you can't bank on it. You know, I mean, look at what happened to Yennier Cano. Was his drop off super drastic? I don't think so. I think he still proved to be pretty quality overall, but nowhere near what he was at his peak the year prior. Guys kind of go regress a little bit. And, you know, Cionel Perez was a guy who regressed the past couple of years. It's not fair to Felix to expect that level every single year. Even if he is good, he might not ever reach that level again. That's how good he was before he got hurt.
Well, Orioles have a busy offseason, Mike Elias, and we'll see how much David Rubenstein is willing to spend. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse, Dolan McGraw, Inside Access, live from South Baltimore, Cross Street Market, here on this Featured Artist Friday. Get ready for Kenny Loggins closing it out here, everybody. My vow to never criticize.
That's the end of the show.
I know. It's the end of the week. It's been a long week. After a certain time, I just get done talking. But we're not done yet. We'll be at Brew Brothers on Sunday for Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, the pregame show brought to you by Rice, Mirth, and Pesaurus. Ravens 9-point favorites over Denver. Me and Ken Wyman got you covered for that first hour. Ravens try to get back in the win column after a tough loss at Cleveland. Lamar was back at practice today. So there's good news. And I think Broderick Washington was back, right? Travis Jones was back.
Mm-hmm.
Brent Urban's not back because he's in a concussion protocol. But Keaton Mitchell looks like he's 100%. Maybe not for this week, but could we see him Thursday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. All of a sudden, you got Keaton Mitchell and Deontay Johnson. It's like the Orioles pitching staff. God, where are we going to do with all these weapons?
Well, hopefully they sustain that a lot longer than the Orioles did.
Everybody's arm fell off by July.
That was like a two-week span there where we were on cloud nine. But, I don't know where Keaton Mitchell factors in. That's going to be very interesting to me because I'm still a little skeptical that he's going to even be close to what he was pre-injury. We've seen it with so many guys that come back initially from knee or just leg injuries in general. Running backs I'm talking about, and they don't have that extra gear. I mean, J.K. Dobbins was a great example.
Yeah.
He did make that initial comeback, played a handful of games, but then had to miss some time, got the knee scoped again, and then had to come back after that. I mean, how many times do we see him break away for what could have been a house call, and 50 yards downfield, he starts kind of, you know, not limping, but
getting caught.
Yes, he doesn't have that second gear, so Keaton Mitchell's got freakish speed. It'd be interesting to see what a more limited version of him is capable of.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, too, Nolan, that J.K. Dobbins at his best was never as fast as Keaton Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
But most people walking the face of the planet don't run as fast as Keaton Mitchell does. So another thing to keep an eye on moving forward here. Maryland Hoops starts on Monday. We'll talk about that Monday. So stay tuned. Maryland football's off. They go to Oregon next Saturday. And I guess good luck with that, but we'll address it in due time. We have time to go to the funhouse real quick.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Howard in Baltimore says, when the Ravens have a poor performance, they usually bounce back. I believe that the coaches and players are embarrassed after all of the missed calls and misplays against the Browns. They'll take it out on Denver. Double-digit win. Ravens, 30-plus points. Denver, under 20.
All right. Their defense, granted they haven't gone up against a ton of great offensive teams, but they've handled their business accordingly. I wouldn't put 40 on the board just yet, but I think the Ravens win. I don't know if they cover that 9 points. Then again, I picked Houston last night, so what the hell do I know?
This texter here is from Chris, says, I feel bad for Zach Orr. It seems like he's just the scapegoat for a defensive coaching staff that's been totally gutted. The Ravens lost their coordinator, D-line coach, defensive back coach, and technically their linebacker coach. I don't know if I'm following that one. He is still here. But Chris says, with all that turnover, there were bound to be some struggles.
It wasn't Zach Orr, the inside linebacker coach.
Yeah.
I guess
he's
moved. Look, what was Mike McDonald supposed to do? Say no to a head coaching job? Be old James Franklin, coach in waiting, a job he never got, by the way. And then Maryland had to pay him $1 million. How'd that work out for you? Administration back then in College Park. I don't know, Denard Wilson leaving when he left, Philly? Their pass defense went down the crapper. Ravens this year. He's in Tennessee now. They stink, but their defense is kind of competitive. They did gave up 52 points last. But you get the point. They had experienced coaches, went with a guy who had no play calling experience. And, you know, the fact they had to bring in Dean Pease as an advisor, not even halfway through the season. You don't have to be Columbo, one more question, to figure out what was going on with that.
And how about one more here? This texter wondering if maybe Roquan's disappointing performance this year, or at least not being close to his standards, is an impact of the weaker secondary behind him. I don't know about that one. I mean, weaker in performance, sure, but it's the same guys. And in some cases, you've added with Wiggins. We haven't seen TJ Tampa yet, but I don't know. It's pretty much the same group back there. Marlon's healthier than he was last year.
Yeah, playing better, too. Hey, look, Roquan Smith been underachieving since the first game against Kansas City. And we didn't know at the time that the Ravens were going to be 32nd against the pass. So Roquan's got to pick up the pace here. Hopefully last week was a sign that Trenton Simpson's going to elevate his play. Kyle Hamilton, all right, the drop aside, he looks like he's kind of sort of getting back to last year's level, but still not at it when he was first team all pro. We'll see what Marcus Williams brings to the equation. He's been kind of scapegoated. I mean, he got benched, didn't play last week. Eddie Jackson came out there and looked like me flailing at balls. So we'll see how it goes. Denver, It's a team that's interesting, should be beatable, but they won five of their last six. They have the same record as the Ravens. Hey, the Ravens lost to the Raiders at home. So let's not get too carried away just yet. But it will be interesting to hear the phone calls if they lose Monday to Denver. But it's not going to happen, right? It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Vinny's back on Monday. We're back Sunday from Horseshoe, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored. The pregame show brought to you by Rice, Bertha, Papsouris, for Nolan McGraw, Bob 80. Stay safe, stay healthy, have a great weekend, Inside Access Net, etc., etc.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.